And the rest of us will stay up here and continue on in our series. Let me pray for them as they go. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you again for the opportunity that we have to learn of you and from you. And Lord, we recognize here today that our greatest need is to know you in a real personal way and to be close to you. And so I pray that even in the midst of this time here this morning, that you would reveal yourself personally to each one of us. I know there's something here that each of us needs to hear. And Lord, you can direct that to the heart of each one. I pray for our young people as they go downstairs and ask that you would give them hearts to learn. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And we ask that for ourselves as well, that we would be eager learners as you teach us. And Father, not just sitting here to get information, but rather eager to apply these things to our lives and to our own situations. So we ask now that your Holy Spirit would make things clear and understandable to us and apply them to our hearts so that we might live for you. And that's our goal, for your glory. Amen. Well, as you can see on the slide here, this fall we are beginning the fall with a series that focuses on the mission of Hope Christian Church. Just by way of reminder, where is one place where you can go on Sunday morning to get the summary of the mission of Hope Christian Church? Where can you get that any Sunday morning? Okay, you're getting the message. It's on the front of your bulletin. Now, that is a summary statement of our mission statement. If you would like to get more of the fuller expression of our mission statement, you can do that in two places pretty easily as well. One is on our website at hopechristianchurch.org, and then the other is on our intranet site at hopechristianchurch@webex1.com. Either of our websites will lead you to the fuller, expanded version of our Hope Christian Church mission statement. And I point that out because if you haven't read that in a while or you've never read it, I encourage you to do that because this is what we're focusing on during our time over these next weeks. But our mission statement does say this. Let's see. Our mission is to glorify God by developing a community of committed disciples of Jesus Christ, which has an impact for Christ locally and around the world. Now, there are three key words that I want to emphasize, or words or phrases that I want to emphasize as we go through that this fall. And the first is the word community. The second is a phrase, committed disciples. And then the third is impact for Christ. What we want to be is a community of committed disciples that has an impact for Christ. That's what we're hoping to be here at Hope Church. This morning, I want to focus on the community part of our mission statement. As I mentioned, we've got an expanded version of our mission statement, and our mission statement says this regarding fellowship. It says, we're working together to build deep personal relationships in a loving community through sharing our lives, meeting each other's needs, praying for each other, and enjoying fun activities. All of that because of our personal commitment to each other through Jesus Christ. Now, take a look at that statement. And I want you to contrast what that says with what you usually think about when you hear the word church. See, I've found over the years that usually when we think of church, we think about an event or an activity, kind of like we're doing here today, you know, going to a worship service, that's church. Or even more basic, we usually think about the building where an event like this takes place. Or a lot of people, when they think of church, they think of an organization or even an institution. But I just want to remind you this morning that this is what God has in mind when he thinks of church. See, when God thinks of church, he thinks of a group of people that are having deep personal relationships in a loving community. A church is a community. It's not an organization. It's not a building. It's not even a set of activities. And I point that out because it reminds us then that if we're going to understand fellowship, the next point in our discussion on our mission statement that we're going to look at today, if we're going to understand fellowship, then one of the first things that we need to do is we need to change the way that we think about this word church. See, when the Bible talks about church, it doesn't think of an organization. So how does it think of it? Well, look at these verses that I have up here. John 1:12, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, and Hebrews 2:11. Just look at those verses for a minute. And as you look at those, I want you to notice how the Bible refers to people in the church. What kind of terms do these verses use to talk about people in God's church? You tell me. What are the terms? What kind of terms? That's exactly right. Family terms. Children of God. You know, fathers, brothers, mothers, sisters, brethren. That's exactly right. See, when the Bible describes the church, it describes it in family terms. You know, this whole book, the Bible, is all about God building a family. The thing that God has been doing from the beginning to the end, he's building a family that he wants to live with him forever. And we're part of that family in this time, in this age, in this place. The church is a family. Now, let's think about kids in a family for a minute. What is the first relational principle that you teach kids in a family? When kids are little, even, and they first get to where they're aware of each other and they're able to relate to each other, what is the number one, the first relational principle that you teach little kids when they start spending time together? Sharing. You got it. Sharing. That's the first thing you need to teach them to do. They need to learn to share their stuff, share their toys and whatever. They also need to share your time. They need to share your attention. Lots of sharing that goes on. That's the number one thing you teach kids when they're learning to relate to one another. Now, that's also true in God's family. Because the basic idea of this word fellowship that we're talking about today is the idea of sharing. We're supposed to be a family that shares together. The Greek word that's translated fellowship in the New Testament, as many of you know, is the Greek word koinonia. You've probably heard that referred to in the years past. As I've studied that word over the years, I've come up with this definition of fellowship as it's described in the Bible. This kind of covers, I think, the big picture of how that word is used. Christian fellowship is a quality of relationship characterized by sharing the experiences of life together, sharing possessions to meet each other's needs, sharing each other's burdens, and sharing the work that Jesus gave us to do. And all of that because we share a common relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, a fellowship, as the Bible talks about it, is all about sharing. So if you don't remember anything else from the time this morning, remember this, that fellowship is all about us sharing our lives together. Now, what is it that he wants us to share? What's that look like? Well, I want to look at four things, I think, that we need to all be sharing if we're going to have fellowship together like the Bible talks about. So let's open up the Bible to Acts chapter 2 and look at the first one. Acts chapter 2. Remember, Bible, two-part book, Old Testament, New Testament. We're in the New Testament. Start off with the four Gospels that talk about Jesus' ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The next book is the Acts of the Apostles. That's where I want you to be. Acts chapter 2. One of the things you see in the early chapters of Acts especially is that the church, especially the early church, shared normal, ordinary life together. And that's the first thing I want to focus on this morning. If we're going to be involved in fellowship together, we need to share life together, just ordinary life together. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Go down the page a little bit or turn the page, however it is in your Bible, to Acts 2, verse 44. It says, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And then just drop down a couple of verses to verse 46. It says, and day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. What's the common denominator there? Together. See, they lived life together. See, together is a key word when you think about church and the fellowship among believers. We are to live life together. You know, it's interesting when you read Paul and his letters, you find out he says we're made alive together, fitted together, built together, held together, members together, heirs together, striving together for the faith of the gospel. One day we'll be caught up together with Jesus, so that we can live together with Jesus forever. Together, key word. You know, it's kind of like God designed the church and following Jesus to be a team sport. You know, I've heard people say over the years, I'm a Christian, I just don't want to be involved in a church. You may have known some people like that. You may have thought that yourself. But I would suggest to you this morning that somebody who says that, I'm a Christian, I just don't want to be part of a church, somebody who says that doesn't understand what being a Christian is really all about. Because following Jesus is not something that anybody can do in isolation. It's a team sport. Saying that you're a Christian and you just don't want to be involved in a church is like somebody saying, I'm a football player, I just don't want to be on a team. See, if you think about it, you can't play the game the way it was intended to be played by yourself. To be a football player and play football the way it was intended to be played, you've got to be on a team. And it's the same way in the church. You see, a Christian without a church is really an orphan. And God didn't bring anybody into relationship with himself, cause you to be born again spiritually, just to leave you as an orphan. Anytime he brings about a rebirth in somebody's life, he wants them to come and be part of a family. Now, if your family is like our family, in any family, you experience a lot of life together. See, part of it is coming here on a Sunday morning, but man, I think you've got a little bit more in your real life than just this, right? I mean, this is just one little piece of life. I mean, what we're doing here is real. It's not that this is unreal, but it's what you do the other 165 hours with your week that's the bulk of your real life. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to experience life together among the family, but out there in real life. A couple of years ago, during this time in the fall, those of you who were around then remember that this was the time when we read Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, during the fall 2 years ago. And in that book, in the section on fellowship, Rick Warren said this. He said, real fellowship is so much more than just showing up at services. It's experiencing life together. It includes unselfish loving, honest sharing, practical serving, sacrificial giving, sympathetic comforting, and all the other one another commands found in the New Testament. So it's more than just showing up here. Now, in order to do that, in order to experience real life together, we need to do at least two things. And one, I've already alluded to, is to get together with people from the family here outside of this place. Because again, a lot of real life happens out there, and if we're going to experience real life together, we can't just limit our contact with one another to just this place. That's the first thing. So we got to get together with other people out there. But then in addition to that, we also need to spend time with a smaller group of the Hope Christian Church family. Because you can worship in a crowd, but you can't fellowship in a crowd. See, in order to have fellowship like the Bible talks about it, we need to break this thing down so that you're getting some time with individuals or small groups of people. In that regard, I have a challenge for you this morning. And here's the challenge. I want you to think about, what would it take for me to get some real life time with somebody else from Hope Christian Church in the next month? You know, do something that looks like real life. Like have a meal together. Or do something recreational. Or I don't know what, you know, whatever you do in real life, but to do it with somebody else from the Hope Christian Church family. And then whatever it takes to actually do whatever it takes. And that's my challenge for you today. That everybody in here would give some thought as to what could I do with somebody else in the Hope Christian Church family outside of this building and this facility, and then do it. And by the way, for you women, you've got a good opportunity. You can take the challenge, and you could probably fill that square if that's what you're into, filling squares and checking things off, just by going out and having breakfast with the women next Saturday. You know, that's doing something real life together. That's the first thing I think that we want to share. We want to share real life together. But the Bible also tells us that fellowship or sharing also involves sharing our stuff. You're still in chapter 2 in Acts? Okay, let's go back to about where we left off. We were in verses 44 through 46. So let's pick that up again. Acts 2, verse 44 again. And let's look at verses 44 and 45. It says, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need." Now, that's the way the early church started off. This is kind of like month number one of the church. It's about a month after Jesus had died and ascended up into heaven. And these folks are together so much, and they start seeing needs around, and they start meeting one another's needs, even to the point where some people are selling things in order to come up with some ready cash to meet some needs. Now, as you go on through the New Testament, you see that about 50 years later, the Apostle John wanted to make sure that the church in his day was still like the church when it started. And so he wrote this to the church. He said, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how's the love of God abide in him?" In other words, John was trying to help the people in his day, the church kind of as it was getting into the second generation, to realize that love involves meeting people's needs. And when you see somebody that has a need, you do what you can to meet that need. A number of years ago, I read an article by a fellow named Patrick Morley that kind of challenged my thinking on those verses that we just looked at. Some of you may know Patrick Morley from some of the books that we've handed out on Father's Day in the past, the Man in the Mirror book and the Dad in the Mirror book that we've passed out in years past. Those are written by Patrick Morley. But anyway, a number of years ago, I read an article by him. And in that article, he said this. He said, "Robert and I had been friends for a dozen years. So it was natural for me to visit him. With the recession, my business problems were bigger than my ingenuity. I needed someone to listen to my thinking. Robert listened patiently for a couple of hours. Then he said something that floored me. He said, 'I don't have any answers, But if the worst comes, I've got enough money for both of us to live on. Whatever I have is yours. Now, I realize that most of us are struggling to figure out how our own families are going to live on what we have. And so our natural tendency when we read something like that is to think, I would never dream of saying what this guy said to his friend. And that's the way I responded to that the first time that I read it. I said, oh, it must be nice to have that kind of money that you could say that. But, you know, as I've thought about that since then, I've realized that, you know, the real issue here has nothing to do with how much I have. I think what it really has to do with is, do I recognize where what I have came from in the first place? And who it really all belongs to in the first place? See, one of the things that I found is that being able to say, look, what I have is yours. Being able to say that comes from understanding that everything that we've got ultimately comes from God. And it all belongs to Him. And really what we are is we're just kind of managers of the stuff that God has sent our way. And whenever He wants to send it somebody else's way, we just need to properly manage what belongs to Him. By the way, I want to commend you people for living this stuff out. Because one of the things I've seen here at Hope Christian Church is that the people of this church family are very good about doing these things. And I just want to commend you for looking out for one another, meeting each other's needs, even when it takes giving up some of your stuff. So I just say, let's keep doing what we're doing there. Share life together, share our stuff. But there's also an interesting application of this idea of fellowship as well, and that involves sharing our problems. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. See, fellowship in the church isn't just about having fun together. It's also about going through tough times together. What's the law of Christ? It says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Yeah, love one another. Love your brother. Remember, the night before Jesus went to the cross, He said, a new commandment I have for you. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then He says, by this, all men will know that you are My disciples. Now, put this together with that. That's the law of Christ, love one another. Paul is saying one of the ways that we love one another is by bearing one another's burdens. Now, that's a good reminder that we're not meant to face our problems alone. See, if you've got a problem, that's everybody's problem. That's the way it is in a family. That's the way it is in our family. You know, one of my kids has a problem, I don't say to my kid, sorry, that's your problem. You know? But when one sibling has a problem, you can bet it impacts the rest of the siblings as well. That's the way it is in families. But that's also the way it's supposed to be in our family. If you got a problem, that's your problem, and your problem, and your problem, and your problem. We need to share the load on the problems. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. But then what's the second part of that saying? Yeah, weep with those who weep. I heard someone say one time, when you share a joy, it's doubled. And when you share a problem, it's cut in half. See, I think one of the things that fellowship is all about is kind of cutting up our problems into smaller pieces by sharing those problems with one another. So let's share normal life, let's share our stuff, let's share our problems, and then just one last thing. In addition to sharing those things, I think fellowship also involves sharing the work that Jesus has given us to do. One more passage of scripture I want to look at in the Paul's letter to the Philippians. So keep going to the right in your Bibles. From Acts, you're going to go through Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Those are pretty big books. Then you'll go through Galatians and Ephesians. And then Philippians, chapter 1. Philippians 1. Let's look at verses 3 through 5. Paul says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all. In view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Now that word participation there is our Greek word koinonia. So Paul is saying that they participated in the gospel, they shared in the gospel, or you could even say they fellowshipped in the gospel with him. They fellowshipped or participated in the work of the gospel with him. So in other words, they were kind of like partners in the ministry with Paul. Now, how so? In what way were they partners with Paul in the ministry? Well, you see, one way is you go on and read the letter in Philippians chapter 4. So turn over to the fourth chapter. Let's look at verses 15 and 16. Chapter 4, verse 15, he says to the Philippians, and you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Now again, in verse 15, that word shared is the verb form of the word koinonia. So how was it that these people participated in or shared in Paul's work? Well, in this case, they shared by helping support him financially. In other words, they were kind of like Paul's backers in the ministry. Just similar to the way that we get behind people who are involved around the world helping extend the work of Christ. We support them by financial support and through prayer. So these folks had done that for Paul. Now, this is just one example of the idea of sharing together in the work. So that word participation reminds us that everybody's got a part. We've got a part to play. By the way, I just want to remind you of that personally this morning. See, God did not bring you here to Hope Christian Church just for you to sit and watch. That's fine for you to be doing that right now for these few minutes. But overall, following Jesus is not a spectator sport. It's a team sport, not a spectator sport. And what that means is that God has a part for you. Every single person here, he's got a part for you to play. So he didn't bring you here to sit and watch. He brought you here to give you a part of the action. He's got something that he wants everybody to do. Now, if your family is like our family again, everybody's got a part to do. In the Bandai family, we divide up the chores. You know, there are things that my kids do, that Laurel does, that I do. And I'm sure it's the same way in your family. Everybody's got a part to play. Now, the same is true in this family, in the family of God. You've got a part, and you've got a part, and everybody's got a part to play. Now, when we do that, and we do that together, one of the things that we experience is community, or relationship, or fellowship. You want to experience community around here, man, get involved in a ministry kind of like Vacation Bible School. You know, it's interesting, when Vacation Bible School happens, there is a real sense of community among the people as they work together. They get involved in the work together, and relationship happens. I look around here, there's not a whole lot of relationship happening right now, because this is not designed for that. But you get working together, relationship happens. Or go on a missions trip with a group. How many folks did you take down to Haiti? Was it eight? Okay, eight people went down to Haiti this summer. And most of those eight have sat together in this room for hundreds of hours over the last few years. And a number of them, even after those hundreds of hours, didn't know one another very well. But when they came back from Haiti, there were relationships. Because you get together with somebody in an environment like that for a week and you work together. Man, relationships, community, it just kind of happens. And you come back, you know somebody better, and you're friends. So one of the ways that we develop community around here, again, is just by working together. I just wanted to remind you this morning that this issue of fellowship or community is a big thing on our target here at Hope Christian Church. It's one of the key words in our mission statement. And I want to remind you that this whole goal of making disciples that Jesus has given us to do takes place only in the context of community. So if we're going to accomplish the goal that Jesus has for us, we've got to have some community. And so what do? Let's share ordinary life together and keep doing that. What do? When we see needs, let's meet those needs and share what we've got to meet needs. And what do? Let's share our problems with one another and bear one another's burdens. And what do? Let's share the work. We do that, we're going to have community. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I pick up as I look around the world that we live in, one of the things that people are really looking for is relationship. They want to connect with somebody. Somebody that they know, knows them, and accepts them, and loves them as they are. I think everybody's looking for that. I think we've got that to offer. And the greater community we develop here, the more we will have to offer people out there. So let's keep this on the center of the target. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you that you are a father. You have a son. And through the work of your son, you've brought us into your family. You've adopted us as your children and made us heirs together with Christ. And Lord, I would just pray that you'd continue to grow us to know what that means and what that looks like. Now, Father, we want to be people who love one another like we've read here today. And we know that we can't just make that happen, but we know there's a lot that we can do toward that end. So, Father, as we become more and more of a sharing community, would you really develop us and cause us to be people whose light really shines here among us? Lord, I want to thank you for the men and women here. I thank you that they are sharing people. And I just pray that you would grow us in that. Pray especially in the midst of the busyness of life that we all face, that you'd help us to break things down a little bit and get close to a few so that we might honestly be able to say that we've got good friends here in the church family. And the Lord, as those develop, that we might impact others for you as well. So, Lord, you know these are things that we've heard many times before, and I just ask that you take us a little bit deeper this time as we move ahead. Now, Lord, as we go out from this place, we want to live life, real life out there, in a way that would draw some people in here just to find out what makes the difference. And so, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would go with us through this week and allow us to live for you in a very unique way, and especially in our relationships with one another. And we ask that all for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand one more time together, and as a community, before we leave this place today, let's sing to our great God.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide. His voice, trembles at His voice.
Let's lift it up together.
How great is our God.
Sing with me.
How great is our God. Call the sea, how great. How great is our God. Age to age He stands.
Walking with one another. Amen.
Wonderful, so wonderful, is your unfailing love.